Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Made the list, delivered by TriStar Movers. TriStar Movers with 5-star service. Elijah, I am honored to be in my very first You Just Made the List.
Oh, it's fun. Like, it's, we're not professionals. We're not trained therapists of any kind. But this is our attempt to help this great city air some grievances on days that aren't December 23rd. Jared understands that reference. But, so it's... It's
platform
my favorite time
is
of the week.
Just
yeah.
as beneficial as therapy, in my
exactly.
expert opinion.
That's right. Having the platform, getting to call somebody out, or be able to release some built-up tension. Friday, at the end of the week, a lot
end
builds
of the
up.
Year?
And at the end of the year, this could be a whole year thing. This could be not just a who or what made you mad this week. Who or what made you mad in the year of our Lord 2021?
What is your 2021 list? Elijah?
Oh, man. Oh,
who's on your list?
Ooh, okay, so this week, I'll go start us off. I'm going to put Dennis Dodd from CBS on the list because always someone that has to be the party pooper. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's enjoying the Duke Mayo Bowl for obvious reasons, and that's that a coach gets
obviously.
To get doused with a bunch of mayonnaise. It's gross, but it's delightful. Like, this is like the most fun that like.
It's not pretty, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Exactly. Like, it's art. It's art in the way that, like, not everyone's going to agree on how, on
art,
what they
but
think
make
of
it mayonnaise.
Exactly. And, like, this is, there's so many bowl games. You talk about how many bowl games they are and how, quote unquote, meaningless they are. Like, it's not meaningless to a lot of these players. It really isn't. And Duke's Mayo, like, good for them for being a really good bowl sponsor because, A, they're really involved.
Yes, they are.
And B, they make it a lot more fun. They have a great social media presence. They build up this anticipation of a coach getting mayonnaise dumped on him after a game. It's funny. It's lighthearted. This isn't supposed to be that serious. We live in a very serious, depressing world where there is all this going around us at all times. Take a pick. Like, there's a lot of joylessness on the planet.
There's a lot of bad in the world.
A whole lot of bad, especially in the last couple of years. I get it. We live it every day. And this is a fun escape. Everyone's having fun either getting disgusted by Mike Golic Jr. dipping Oreos in mayonnaise, mm-hmm. which I wasn't
as... It is disgusting.
It's disgusting. I wasn't as grossed out when I saw it. I was surprised. My skin didn't crawl. Still gross, but it wasn't as gross as I thought it would be, personally. And then there's like this promise of... mayonnaise getting dumped on a coach. South Carolina beats North Carolina, mm-hmm. and Shane Beamer, after getting
Shane Train.
That they get Spencer Rattler next year. They ended the year really, really well this year. South Carolina might be in a good spot too, but Shane Beamer, after getting basically knocked out with the Mayo Bowl or Mayo Bucket, I guess, because they nailed him in the back of the head with that before any mayonnaise came out.
He's now in concussion protocol.
He is in concussion protocol, for sure, but got. Dowson mayonnaise, haha, it's all fun. Like, we got to have our moment. And then Dennis Dodd, I would love to cite the tweet for you guys. You're a great audience, and I would love to cite this tweet that is the reason I'm putting him on the list. But he deleted it like a coward. So,
boo.
Shane Beamer, and basically the gist of it is, if we're getting to the point where we're dumping condiments on coaches and it's getting hyped up, there are too many bowl games. Well, buddy... Shane Beamer had something to say about that. The recipient of this mayo bath got on Twitter himself, quote tweeted, and said, "What's it like being so miserable all the time for a sport you quote unquote cover? At Dennis Dodd CBS, praying for you. I still remember back in July at SEC Media Days when you said the ceiling for our team was 2 wins. Keep bringing that expert quote unquote analysis. Happy New Year. Hashtag find some joy." I normally enjoy reading Dennis Dodd's work, but he is so off base here. Let these kids have fun, man. At least they had a 6-6 season. They're playing for above 500 record and to just douse their coach in mayonnaise. Just because they're having fun and everyone else is having fun around you doesn't mean you have to crap all over it. So, Dennis Dodd, you just made the list.
I mean, don't be such a fun sucker.
That's exactly what he was.
There's so much of bowl season. I mean, you look at a lot of these bowls, and really, realistically, they don't have any sort of implications. It's you get a fun trophy, you get the t-shirt, you sell more tickets for a game. It really doesn't mean anything, but adding fun on top of it, whether that be a mayo bath or a French fry bath, yes, the Idaho potato bowl, or if that's highlighting fun and quirky things about the team. And I know there's going to be those football guys out there that say, you know, stick to football. We don't want any of this pomp and circumstance. It's fun. It's fun. And allow them to just have the fun. Don't poop on everyone's party just because you don't want to see a grown man doused in mayo. Does anyone want to see it? Probably not. But it's one of those things that, like, you just can't look away from.
Oh, it's like, oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I watched the replay like 30 times yesterday.
Just let them have their fun. I mean, these are kids. This is, let's be honest. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids playing a game for kids. And we love it. So just let there be a little bit of fun to the game.
A little joy. Yeah, don't take the joy out of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Bring a little bit of joy to it.
These bowl games are meaningless if you make them meaningless.
Exactly. And mayo is not meaningless.
That's something on the line right
there. It is something on the line. But my list, it's something that happened recently and also something in our year of 2021 and also, you know, throughout my career. So I'm talking with someone the other day. They asked, what do you do? And I said, I do sports talk radio. And they said, what do you mean you do it? And I said, like, I talk about sports on the air, and that's, you know, that's what I do. And they're like, oh, like, what else do you do? And I was like, well, that's my job. I do that for a living, and I feel incredibly grateful to do it. I love this place for offering me a platform to do it, and I'm so incredibly honored and proud and happy to be here. This person goes on to say, so, like, do you even, like, really like sports? And I was like, well, I talk about it for 4 hours a day.
And I would hope so.
Let it be known that it is not a four-hour job. There's a lot of prep involved. It involves watching games and press conferences and watching what other people in the world are talking about sports. And this person goes on to say, you know, I'm so shocked that you like sports. You know, girls don't really like sports. And just goes on and on and on to talk about how it's so strange and weird and out of the ordinary that I not only like sports, but chose it as a living. And then goes on to ask me questions, quiz me essentially, going on in the NFL. Who's the running back for Kansas City? I said, brother, you picked the wrong girl because that is my man, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But goes on to just ask me all these questions and essentially quiz me about sports. So people who, it doesn't just happen to me. It happens to a lot of women who work in sports. It happens to a lot of people who work in sports get underestimated, undermined for what we do. If somebody tells you, especially women, because, you know, this is not, there's not a lot of women in this field. If you come across a woman who works in sports, or even if she just likes sports, if she wants to sit down and watch the game, don't undermine her. Don't quiz her. Trust her credentials, because I like to do this for a living. This is how I pay my rent. And I like to think that I at least know something about something. Quit quizzing women in sports. Anyone who does that, that person who asked me, you made the list. And anyone who does that, quit undermining women in sports. You just made the list.
That's so condescending.
Isn't
That's
it?
Like the thing, too. Even if you don't think it is, if a woman tells you that she's interested in sports, your first instinct should be, oh, well, who was the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs in 1993?
Of the starting pitcher of Game 6 of the World Series in 1973.
What did Tom Glavine have for breakfast before he won the World Series?
You like football? Name every football player ever.
That's essentially what it is. Like, it just comes across as so condescending. And I have been, not like a part of the conversation, but I've been like eavesdropping on conversations like that, and it's cringeworthy.
It's cringe.
It's pretty bad.
And even if you come across someone, don't gatekeep sports. If there's someone, woman or not, if they're interested in getting into sports, don't gatekeep it.
Yeah.
Embrace it. Teach them about the sport. Have a dialogue. Have a conversation, because this world is way more fun when there's people who appreciate things like Duke Mayo baths.
Exactly.
This world is more fun when they're in it. But no, I will not name every football player ever. the guy who said, so he asked me what I did, and you know, I said sports talk radio. He said, oh, you probably know more about sports than me. I said, yeah, I probably do.
It's my job.
No offense to you, dude, but like, I don't know what you do. You probably, if you're an accountant, you probably know about more about taxes than I do.
Yeah.
And I don't say name every tax ever. And it's the same thing. If there is a man who is interested in something that is predominantly women, I don't say, oh, name every shoe designer ever. You like Nikes? Good for you. I'm glad that you do. So let's all make this a very welcoming and nice place for everyone who is interested in sports.
It's a good natural rule. And there's a lot of that like in sports as well, like just in general, like especially with a sport like soccer, where there's those people that are the diehards or lifelong fans. They watch European soccer, they watch the Premier League, and it's people that are trying to get into it and learn it here because it's in Nashville now. And if someone, you know, tries to talk about it, they get like kind of get shot down, or they ask a question that might be a little silly about the sport, they get shot down, but they're trying to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one wants to try to learn things if that's how it's going to be. Same thing in hockey, like back 20 plus years ago, mm-hmm. when the Nashville Predators moved here. Like, this wasn't the hockey savvy town in the country. We
right.
still had to learn some stuff. But
this isn't Boston.
Exactly.
This isn't Toronto.
Montreal.
But that's
know.
Okay.
Like, the sports snobbiness. Like, it's okay for someone to learn it, you know.
Exactly.
At that point, too. So this all goes hand in hand. Don't be a joy kill. And that's always my favorite part about this segment each week is it's always.
Don't fun suck.
Yeah, absolutely do not. We could sell T-shirts that say that. Don't
let people have their thing. One text or text in the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to put someone on the list. But John the Mailman texts in and says there's a lot of gatekeeping in regards to sports, music, comics, gaming in mm-hmm. general. People need to get over it and accept that it's not for men only anymore. Music!
Yeah.
Since when was music just for men?
That's right. Yeah.
In this year of 2021 and soon to be 2022, it's not.
People
can do fun stuff. People can do fun things. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You just made the list brought to you by TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with 5-star service. Coming up next, you will get into a little bit of Titans talk. What are 3 ways that the Dolphins can win this game and 3 wins that the Titans could win this game? We'll take a look at both sides of the ball coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Elijah Campbell, you're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, and we are live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Curation CBD. No Darren, no Donick, nor Chase, but there is Caroline Fenton and Elijah Campbell hanging out with you on this New Year's Eve. Titans hosting the Dolphins this Sunday. The Dolphins coming off of a win against the Saints on Monday Night Football. The Titans also coming off of a win against the 49ers on Thursday Night Football. But the Titans have shown us so far this season that they could beat any opponent. I mean, you see the stretch that they went on of beating the Rams, beating the Chiefs, beating the Colts, and that beat the Seahawks earlier on in the season. The Titans can beat any team. They have the talent. But they also have shown that they can lose to any team because they lost to the Jets, they lost to the Texans, and they handed the Steelers the game on a silver platter in the form of turnovers and interceptions. So that's very much so what we've seen from the Titans. So they can win this game, and they absolutely can win this. Lose this game, excuse me. In my opinion, 3 ways that the Dolphins can win this game. Elijah, what's your thoughts on this as well? Dolphins can win this game first and foremost if the pass rush gets to Tannehill like they did Ian Book 8 times against the Saints this past week. And so far this year, the Dolphins have gotten to the quarterback 45 times. They lead the league in sacks with 45. If this pass rush can get to Tannehill, we've seen that Tannehill can get shaken up very much so. We've seen a little bit of apprehension in the pocket from Ryan Tannehill. We've seen a little bit of anxiety from Ryan Tannehill, a little bit of seeing of ghosts whenever Ryan Tannehill gets sacked too many times in a game. So if this pass rush can get to Ryan Tannehill, I think that is absolutely how the Dolphins can shut down this Titans offense and get to Ryan Tannehill.
I think that's a big one. And the Titans offensive line being the ultimate X factor, because as far as we know, I think Nate Davis is now off the COVID list. Mm-hmm. Juan's off. Expect to see Roger Saffold. That's gonna be a big thing too. Mm-hmm. Like one of the strengths of this Dolphins defense is getting to the quarterback, and I think we've had enough in terms of sample size to see that when Ryan Tannehill is under duress, that's when you see a lot of the questionable decision making. It's the decision making on the fly, you know, where he does kind of struggle a little bit and having to do it under such stress. And now, at the same time, how many quarterbacks are, when they have that little time, do you actually trust to be able to take over and win games? The list is like two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Aaron Rodgers. And one might be Lamar Jackson because he can escape that kind of pressure with his legs. And like, it's an elite group. It's a small, minute, elite group. And I think with the Titans' offensive line, I think you're going to be able, if they're able to keep him, I say the goal should be three seconds. That's a good amount of time. I think the average is like 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to give him 3 seconds of a relatively clean pocket, I think the Titans will have no problem at least moving the ball against the Dolphins. And if they're able to do that in third and short, then I think they're going to be able to manage. Because like when you're in third and 10, you need more time to set up these pass plays.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to at least throw at the sticks or beyond the sticks. It cost them a game against the Steelers because they didn't have enough time to throw past the sticks. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhine caught the ball a couple of yards short and wasn't able to do anything else.
Ultimately the decision maker of the game.
Exactly. The margin for error is going to increase if you're able to get it third and second, third and third, third and fourth, with a third down defense that was horrific, comically bad at the beginning of the year, and has fallen back down to a relatively normal rate of production. I think if they're able to do that, that's going to make the Titans offensive line and those third down passing situations a whole lot easier. I think that's going to dictate, those are your factors that are going to dictate whether or not the Titans offensive line is able to give Tannehill any time.
And you brought up, you know, throwing the ball short at the sticks, and that brings me to my next reason why the Dolphins could win this game, and I think it's Todd Downing. Because you mentioned it, throwing short of the sticks. Todd Downing has called way too many plays, where they throw the ball short of the sticks. It ultimately cost them the Steelers game. You mentioned it when Nick Westbrook-Ikhine didn't get that first down. But Todd Downing continuously calls plays, throw it short of the sticks. Todd Downing calls a play. You know, you may be running the ball consistently. You may be doing a great job running the ball. You call a run play on second down, only pick up a yard or two. And then Todd Downing instantly flips the script to passing the ball. Now, before A.J. Brown came back, that was not the solution to winning games. Throwing the ball wasn't the best possible thing for this team to do because they essentially had practice squad wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Tannehill obviously didn't look very comfortable throwing the ball. His decision-making and his passing hasn't looked like the Ryan Tannehill passing as of late. So I think that if Todd Downing continuously calls plays that aren't advantageous for this team, that mm-hmm. he doesn't optimize what the Titans' biggest strengths are, which really, with or without Derrick Henry, is running the ball. We've seen it with Deontay Foreman, who's been able to put more than 100-yard plus games since he's taken over as the starting running back for this team when Derrick Henry went down. So Todd Downing, capitalize mm-hmm. on the strengths of this team. Quit calling yep. passing plays short of the sticks when you did a first down. Quit calling passing plays when running the ball is what is most advantageous for this game. Feel the game. Do what's best for this team. Capitalize on the strengths, because that is how this Titans offense could come alive.
He's going to have to do what he did in the Niners game. I know we have had ample time on these airwaves here in the last week to criticize that first half play calling, because the first half offensive production against the Niners was so damn bad that it's really easy to call out. But one thing that I really commend him on, and why my grade on Downing in that game is probably a little higher than most people's in this market, is because they found the matchup. They found that no one on that Niners team can go one-on-one with A.J. Brown right now. And that's when you target him 16 times. You find the matchup, you exploit it, and it does enough to win the game. We're going to see, I think the first two quarters of this game, it's going to be a feeling out process of this defense. We might see something a little similar. The big thing is when Downing sees what this offense is doing, how they're counteracting a lot of the Titans' attack, whether they're run heavy in the first half, whether they're trying to force feed A.J. Brown and it's just not working. There's going to be a point in the game where an adjustment's going to have to be made. How is he going to make that adjustment, and who is it going to involve? And is it going to involve players and roles in which they're going to succeed? It brings me back to the way Arthur Smith used Khalif Raymond. Khalif Raymond is not a guy you're giving 10 targets to. He's not a guy you're probably giving 5 targets to in a game. But what Arthur Smith was really, really good at was setting up plays, whether it be runs to Derrick Henry or just running the ball in general, or short game passing, to where eventually it lulled the back end of a defense to sleep and it opened things up to where he could throw a bomb to Khalif Raymond with no safety help. And that's when, bam, that's when they hit you with that long play. They lull you, lull you, lull you, bam, long pass over the middle, touchdown, or a 50-yard chunk play. I think Todd Downing's going to have to do something similar in terms of using guys that aren't stars, because there's plenty of them on this roster right now. Chester Rogers, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, even your tight ends, Mykole Pruitt, Anthony Firkser, who, even though he's been really disappointing this year, there are still certain circumstances where he can help you. That could be third downs. Before this year, Anthony Firkser was a great third down option. That Anthony Firkser is still there somewhere.
But man, the ball scares me in Anthony Firkser's hands.
And it's like, it's one of those things too where his strength isn't running after the catch, because we saw what happened when he does try to run after the catch. If he's going to be able to use these players, he's got to be able to use them in strengths, like you mentioned, where it's advantageous for those players. That's what makes good offensive coordinators. It's not just having the best offensive weapons and having this some kind of mastermind scheme. It's not making or putting this burden on a certain player to do more than they are capable of and letting them play within their abilities. A.J. Brown's on those players. You can put whatever it is on their plate. He's a star. He'll handle it. But be able to put Nick Westbrook-Ikhina in a place and space where he can make a catch on 3rd and 5 to move the chains. That saves you more downs. That saves a drive. If you can continuously save drives by using what the defense is doing against you in that first half, or in these first 2 or 3 possessions, rather, to be able to see what they're going to attack you with, those are the type of adjustments that Todd Downing needs to make, where the first quarter won't really define how they're going to run the rest of the game. It's just going to be how he adjusts to them. And I think if he does that against Miami the way he did against San Francisco and finding that matchup, I feel a hell of a lot better with him calling those plays.
And you feel a hell of a lot better with any matchup whenever A.J. Brown is involved.
100%.
100%. Yeah. I mean, if you saw...
He makes the job easier.
The difference that A.J. Brown makes, I mean, you see that in the 49ers game. That offense looks completely different when Ryan Tannehill has a receiver downfield that he can at least trust, that he knows that the ball is going into the hands of a receiver that he trusts at least. I mean, A.J. Brown has dropped his fair share of passes. Do not get me wrong. But...
That Niners game.
Yes, he had plenty of drops. But at least Ryan Tannehill knows that if he needs A.J. Brown to be there, he's likely going to be there. But on the other side, another reason that I think that the Dolphins can win this game is the Tua Jalen Waddle connection. Because I am not incredibly high on Tua Tagovailoa as a quarterback, but there is an undeniable connection between Tua and Jalen Waddle. Because, I mean, obviously, I mean, like, he's been throwing passes to him for quite some time. He's been doing it in college and is now doing it in the NFL. Tua doesn't seem like an incredibly dynamic quarterback, and I don't know how long the Tua era is going to last in Miami, but I know, I mean, I don't know. I can assume that Tua feels the same way about Jalen Waddle that we just mentioned about Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown. Tua knows that if he puts a ball up, Jalen Waddle will be there. If he needs to execute a play, I mean, we saw it in the Saints game, a nice little flea flicker, nice little trick play. Tua can trust the ball in Jalen Waddle's hands, and I think that Tua-Jalen Waddle connection is undeniable, and the Dolphins are going to want to use it as much as possible. So if the Titans are able to shut down Jalen Waddle, which is a much larger task than just, you know, just saying it, it's going to be difficult. But if you can shut down that Tua-Jalen Waddle connection, there aren't really many other weapons on this Dolphins offense. I mean, they can't really run the ball, and I don't think that Tua can really get the ball in the air for any other receiver. I mean, Tua is very much so a short yard receiver. You'll pick up 5 downs here, 6 downs here. He's not a deep ball guy. So if you can shut down that undeniable connection between Tua and Jalen Waddle, I think that the Titans are going to be able to make plenty of stops. And I think that's something that this defense can do. They've proved it all season that this defense can shut down mobile quarterbacks and can shut down the throwing the ball as well.
And the thing with Tua is so hard to figure out. And, like, the biggest thing with him, too, is I think we're judging him based off of where he was picked in the draft, which is a fair. I don't want to say that it's, like, an unfair thing. But, like, not every quarterback develops in the NFL the same. And it really doesn't help that the two other guys in that draft with him, Herbert and Burrow are already really, really, really good quarterbacks, guys that are going to be able to put themselves in the discussion of being top five, six, seven quarterbacks in the league, and they'll probably be that way their entire careers. At least it's looking like that right now. Tua hasn't really thrusted himself into that conversation yet because he's not, like you said, it's not the same explosiveness that he had at Alabama. Mm-hmm. It's really weird to think that in college he had better weapons than he does in the NFL, one being Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and Jerry Judy. I mean, like, those are guys are all stud receivers in the NFL right now. The biggest thing with the Dolphins, what makes Tua look really good, isn't just having Jalen Waddle, because I agree, you nailed the nail on the head with that by alluding to their chemistry. They already have incredible chemistry. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why you make that pick. There are other receivers that the Dolphins could have taken right there. But they took Jalen Waddle because they have that already established chemistry between the two of them. But what I love about this Dolphins offense using him is the way they use him. Mm-hmm. It's not just throwing passes across the middle or trying to go deep. They run a lot of jet sweeps or shovel passes. That play against the Saints where he scored a touchdown,
they can be creative with him.
It's one of the more creative ways I've seen the ball get into the hands of a receiver. And the whole thing about in a football offense is get the ball into the hands of the guys who make the best plays in different ways that defenses can't scheme up for. It's what makes Sean Payton so good. Sean Payton is the mastermind at finding guys that, okay, well, this is your skill set. Well, here's how we're going to get the ball in your hands. You know, it's like Marquise Colston. He's not going to kill you down the field, but he's going to kill you on that post route. And he's going to go to that post route every time. Oh, it's 3rd and 5. We're going to go to the post route right here. But when he has dynamic playmakers like Darren Sproles or Alvin Kamara, there's 500 different ways he can give them the football. And the Dolphins are killing it like that with Waddle, whether it be the jet sweep, the shovel pass. I want to go back and look at that play in the Saints where the Waddle scored that touchdown, because there was a lot of action to the left side of the field where they made the entire Saints defense bit and jumped to try to contain the edge.
An incredibly talented defense.
A very good defense.
We can talk about how depleted that offense is and how bad that offense has looked so far this season. That defense is the real deal.
It's still good. And Dennis Allen, coach teams, don't get fooled often. And they bit hard on that fake sweep to the left, and as soon as you saw the Saints defenders trying to set the edge for that, on that same side of the field comes Jalen Waddle, then comes that shovel pass, and that opens up a completely different hole on the right side of the field where he went in almost untouched. That is to me being able to figure out how they're going to give Jalen Waddle the ball is every bit as important as knowing that they're going to give it to him. You know they're going to give it to him. They're going to target him a ton. They're going to try to give him a bunch of different looks at all different parts of the field. The biggest thing for Shane Bowen and company is figuring out how to contain those plays to 4-yard plays, 5-yard plays, and not giving up these 15, 20-yard chunks in which he really starts getting their offense going.
That absolutely is going to be one of the keys for the Titans in this game. But three ways that I think the Titans can win this game. First and foremost, we talked about it with Chris Sanders. We talked about it last hour. A Ryan Tannehill revenge game. I mean, a Ryan Tannehill that comes in fired up. A Ryan Tannehill that's ready to just stick it to the man and say, you should have believed in me. Ryan Tannehill coming in here. He's absolutely one of those quarterbacks that, right, you know, comes in and is able to execute any sort of game plan that you show him. Because when you saw the Texans game, I don't want the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands 25, 30, 35 times. I don't want him throwing for 300 yards. But that was the game plan against the Texans. Did it work? No. But Ryan Tannehill was able to execute it. If they want to run the ball 100 times, Ryan Tannehill is going to hand it off to the running back on every single play. He's one of those players that can come in and execute whatever game plan you bring in front of him. But I want a Ryan Tannehill that is fired up, not only because the Titans are just a couple wins away from the playoffs and could potentially clinch the one seed, not just because the Titans could clinch the AFC South this weekend, but also because Ryan Tannehill wants to prove a point. And I want an angry Ryan Tannehill. Now, Ryan Tannehill's got some swag and a little bit of a chip on his shoulder already. And It's always been there. I mean, we've seen it throughout the years. I mean, he can chirp now. So I want to see Ryan Tannehill come in fired up, and I want to see him ready to execute this game plan.
I like to see him play like it's a revenge game.
Yes.
We can label this the Ryan Tannehill revenge game. I'd like to see him throw for 300 and stick it to him in a win, you know?
But I want to see accurate passes, and I want to see – I don't want to see Ryan Tannehill sit back in the pocket and be afraid. And I don't want to see him scramble at any, you know, ghost that he may see come his way. Mm-hmm. I like how TD said that Jimmy Garoppolo is a type of quarterback that sees shadows, that if you get to him early in the game, that is going to stay with him throughout the game. I've seen a little bit of that in Ryan Tannehill, that you get to him and he'll start seeing shadows. He'll start getting spooked. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Ryan Tannehill come out and be nervous and be scared. And, of course, the offensive line and having trust in his receivers plays a big part in that as well. But I want Ryan Tannehill angry.
Yes.
And I think that could be one of the keys to the Titans winning this game.
Because that could lead to aggressiveness. And here's, like, you don't want him to shy away from throws that could possibly be there. You just want him to be selective with it. Because there's options on every play. Ryan Tannehill has been one of the more aggressive quarterbacks in the NFL and trying to squeeze passes into tight windows or down the field, even though where it might not be. You want him to be aggressive, but not be reckless. If you can find an in-between there where you can still access passes down the field, still get chunk plays, still make a lot of the throws that we've seen him make the last couple years while not doing anything in terms of reckless quarterback behavior, you will find a good balance in between. That's where you'll have minimized turnovers. Or if it's going to be a turnover, it be an arm punt where you're throwing an interception on the other team's, 5-yard line on a 50-yard pass. Is it ideal? No, but that's better than doing it in your own side of the field, knowing when to be aggressive while not being reckless. I think that's where that juice that he might have coming into this game might help with that aggressiveness part. You hope it doesn't fall into the recklessness part of that spectrum, too.
Exactly. Another key to this game for the Titans could potentially getting David Long Jr. and Bud Dupree, getting back in this defense. Because we get it in the text line all the time that Titans fans are just not impressed with Bud Dupree. And Bud Dupree's presence on this Titans defense doesn't necessarily manifest itself in the box score. I mean, Bud Dupree isn't getting 3 or 4 sacks a game. Bud Dupree doesn't have the sexy stats attached to him, but it feels like this defense is just elevated just by Bud Dupree's presence. And you've been able to see it. The past few games that the Titans have dropped the defense hasn't been as dominant as when we saw, for example, the Chiefs game or the Rams game. The Rams game, that defense single-handedly won that game for them. And you look at the second Colts game. That Kevin Byard interception doesn't happen if Bud Dupree isn't putting pressure on Carson Wentz.
100%.
So, 100%. Kevin Byard and Elijah Molden, they get the credit for the interception, as they should. They did it. But Bud Dupree puts pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Bud Dupree elevates this entire defensive line. And Bud Dupree absolutely has a presence in this defense, whether it shows up in the box score or not. So I think having him back off of the COVID list, if that happens, I don't know if it will, if that happens, I think that could be a key. And also David Long Jr., he returned to practice. He was listed as a full participant in practice on Wednesday in the Titans injury report. David Long Jr. has been a difference maker and has been a disruptor so far this season. And just getting both of those presences back, I think this is also a team that works so much off of momentum. So having two of these disruptors back in the defense and, getting a few tackles here, putting some pressure on Tua, sacking Tua, or playing parts in sacking the quarterback, putting the pressure on the quarterback, that's going to be huge to get the momentum going for this defense.
My favorite part about David Long is his ability to cover, slot receivers or running backs out of the backfield. The Dolphins have a couple running backs that are pretty good at catching the ball out of the backfield, specifically Myles Gaskin, who they love to run on third downs. Third down will be the money down in this game. Myles Gaskin is a great third down running back because he's decent carrying the ball, not a very efficient runner. He is better out of the backfield. That's a matchup that could be exploited if there was no David Long Jr. David Long Jr. helps out a ton in that category. And you mentioned, the front end of the defense with whether it be Autry or Bud Dupree helping the back end of the defense, like that Colts interception in the Colts game. They got the interception because of the pressure on the front end. Sometimes, and Teron says this a lot too, the back end will create pressure for the front end. I love the coverage sack. The Titans get more coverage sacks when David Long Jr. is in the game because he takes away that middle of the field at times, and he is so good in the passing game that it buys you just a little bit of extra time, maybe that extra split second needed to be able to get to the quarterback. And Tua Tagovailoa also sees some ghosts too. They're like him and Jimmy G and Ryan Tannehill do kind of see a little bit some shadows. It happened in the Jags game for Tua as well. If the Jags got pressure on him, the Titans can too. I think that's a David Long Jr. coming back is significant to helping maintain that pressure, take away the middle of the field a little bit, force maybe Tua to throw outside the numbers, but by also just buying enough time for the back end to help the front end.
And that's exactly what David Long Jr. and Bud Dupree do, just causing, just wreaking havoc for quarterbacks and opposing offenses. But the third thing, which feels so obvious, and you say, well, duh, this is one of the keys to the Titans' win, but do not turn the ball over. Do not turn the ball over. That is, you know, one of the Ten Commandments of football, and that's how you win games. You don't turn the ball over. I understand that. That feels so incredibly obvious, but I feel like I need to say it because it's been an issue for the Titans for way too long, and they have lost far too many games or kept games far too close because they're making mistakes and they're turning the ball over. In whatever form that comes in, fumbling the snap, throwing an interception, running the ball and fumbling it, however it comes to fruition, do not put the ball in the hands of the Dolphins. The Dolphins, in my opinion, are a better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if the Pittsburgh Steelers can beat the Titans because they turned the ball over four times, you know what? So can the Dolphins. And you cannot turn the ball over. And on the other side of that, this Titans defense has to force turnovers. And not just force them, but the Titans have to capitalize off of turnovers as well.
Be opportunistic.
Be opportunistic. The Titans weren't able to get any points off of that Jackrabbit interception against San Francisco, but you got to get three. Get that ball moving down the field, because if you don't capitalize off of turnovers, then you just wasted a gift. And if you give the ball to Tua or Miles Gaskin or Jalen Waddle, I guarantee you, they'll probably be able to come up with some sort of points. Don't turn the ball over. Don't just force turnovers, but also capitalize off of turnovers as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the turnovers. It's so funny because we talk about it. It seems like a simple solution, right? Well, just don't turn the ball over. Well, it's because
it sounds simple.
But like that's like you.
But
win
I feel
the
need
Steelers
to say
game.
It.
Yeah, you win the Steelers game. I think they win the Patriots game if they don't have those two fumbles. The Hilliard and Foreman fumbles absolutely ruined everything you had in terms of chances of getting back in that Patriots game. The Steelers are a bad offense that beat you because you gave them great field position. The Dolphins have a good offense. If you give them good field position, they're not going to settle for field goals. They can score touchdowns. I know the Titans have been a lot better in the red zone on defense this year. The leap they made from last year to this year is pretty damn remarkable. But this Dolphins team can score if you give them the ball at your 35-yard line. I think that's the biggest difference. Like, the Steelers didn't absolutely kill you with the turnovers because they settled for field goals.
Mm-hmm.
This team might not settle for field goals. They're a team that's playing with house money right now. And that's, I guess, the biggest thing about the Dolphins that I failed to think of myself was that when you're 1-7, you win 7 in a row, despite not playing hardly anybody and having, you know, the strength of schedule during that stretch not being very strong, this is a team that's playing with nothing to lose. They didn't expect to play in the playoffs when they were 1-7. They're playing with house money right now. There's going to be a lot more bleep it in these Dolphins than there would be for a team like the Steelers that was still contending for their division just a couple weeks ago. There's a lot less to lose. Yeah, which is wild to think about. So there's a lot less to lose for the Dolphins on that part. They might not be more, I guess, willing to settle for field goals, and that could be dangerous. That could really haunt you if you give them starting field positions at your 40-yard line.
Play silly underdog picks today. You pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Just go to thegamenashville.com for more details. And to play silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. You are listening to Darren Donick and Chase with Caroline Fenton and Elijah Campbell. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. We are live from ESPN 102.5 The Game and on the Game Nashville app.
Hi, football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers?
Yeah, no, not right now.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe next week.
If that is not just the most Bill Belichick answer, also, bold move on the reporter to ask Bill Belichick a question like that following a loss. But
good
just
for
a
her.
Classic Bill Belichick answer. Nope, maybe next week. But it is New Year's Eve, and in the spirit of New Year's resolutions, going to the gym every day, eating healthier, getting promoted, you know, New Year's resolutions, New Year's goals, it's a classic.
Uh-huh.
And on New Year's Eve, in the spirit of the new year, we have some New Year's resolutions that we think some of our sports teams should probably have. Some
Absolutely.
Things that they should go into the new year saying, hey, you know what? We're going to do this year. First and foremost, the Titans have some New Year's resolutions. We just talked about it. You know, the Titans taking on Miami on Sunday, and one issue that we've seen through the Titans throughout the season is they just beat themselves. Especially, you know, where they had all these players, losing all of them to injury, losing Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown. They were riddled with injuries, and they already had it hard, and they made it harder against themselves. So the Titans, first and foremost, their New Year's resolution: stop beating yourself. Stop turning the ball over. Stop making it more difficult. So the Titans, going into 2022, turning over a new leaf, going into a new year, their New Year's resolution: stop beating yourself.
It's always a good place to start. Quit turning the ball over. Don't fumble the football. Quit giving teams advantageous field position. I think a unique one that I just now thought of for the Titans, too, is your resolution in 2022: get a pass-catching tight end
that you can rely on. The next one on my list.
I just, like, every good offense in the NFL right now at least has a reliable tight end. Not all tight ends have to be Travis Kelce, George Kittle, or Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. I get it. They're freaks of nature. They're in the upper echelon of tight ends in this league for a reason. But almost every good offense that you're going to see in the NFL this year has a reliable tight end. I mean, think about every single playoff team, at least, you know, is going to have a reliable tight end. Even if they're not, I don't know, catching 10 passes for 100-some-odd yards. Get you like a Dallas Goedert, a reliable tight end, a red zone target, a guy who can consistently get the ball to them. Like, that changes the way you play in the red zone. Jonnu Smith isn't a game changer this year for the Patriots because I just don't think they're using him well enough.
Hunter Henry is a game changer for the Patriots. He's one of Mac Jones' favorite targets, and he is a game changer.
Especially in the red zone. And the red zone's like where we really need these guys too, because the field gets a little more compact. Having A.J. Brown and Julio Jones is great when you have a wide-open field. There's a reason Julio Jones didn't have that many touchdowns for a couple of years in Atlanta, was because when the field got smaller, it got harder to force-feed him the ball. And they had other weapons like an Austin Hooper or a Calvin Ridley, or guys that were really good in the red zone, because the space or the attention that Julio Jones had freed up more field when there wasn't a lot of field. You don't have a lot of that for the Titans right now. I don't think Anthony Firkser makes you excited that, or makes you feel more, a little more confident that when you're within the 10-15 yard line, you're going to easily punch it in. Jonnu Smith did, because Jonnu Smith racked up touchdowns whenever he was in the red zone, and you always had to account for
him. Tannehill loved him in the red zone.
And you can see this team is not as reliable in the red zone this year as it was last year. I think the biggest reason is you don't have a reliable tight end.
And also, if we're talking draft acquisition, so on and so forth for the Titans, I think a New Year's resolution, or, you know, just something that the Titans can keep in mind in 2022, maybe let's stay away from injured players. Maybe let's not pick a guy in the first round who couldn't even play the year before because of an injury. Maybe let's not pick a guy who's coming off of back surgery. Let's not pay $15 million to a wide receiver who has a recurring hamstring problem and is in the later half of his career. I mean, as much as I love Bud Dupree, the Titans also handed him a ton of money coming off of an ACL tear.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That was the least risky one of all the ones you might have just said.
Exactly. And it's not like the Titans are getting a value for injured players, because I could totally see, you know, a guy who may be at the later half of his career coming off of an injury, you can get him for a value, sign him for a year deal, and he can help out your team whenever he's healthy. Sure, fine, whatever. Quit throwing millions and millions of dollars at injured players. Quit putting your draft stock in an injured player, because it drives me insane that you're not getting a value for these players. They're injured. Your first round pick can't come in and help you out right away. Your first round pick last year, albeit that wasn't an injury issue, but you're already behind other teams in the fact that your first round pick can't get on the field and help your team. So quit. For the love of God, quit drafting, signing, picking up injured players.
Yeah, the Julio Jones one is the most frustrating one, too, because the hamstrings is one of those things that just never got better. And there were some writings on the wall with how he was used in Atlanta, or, you know, Chris Domino from 680 The Fans come on here before and is, you know, on Darren Donick and Chase and been like, oh, well, you know, he doesn't practice a lot. He misses a lot of time. This could be a lot riskier than you think. And sure enough, it was. And interesting point, Rob in Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, doesn't understand. It's a long text, but it says, doesn't understand why we give Bud Dupree all the credit for things that don't show up in the box score, but we still, you know, constantly harp on Julio Jones, and says that, you know, when one DB is on him constantly, allows AJ to go up against, you know, nowhere near as good DBs. Well, the Titans have the number 18 offense in terms of yard gaining. It wasn't that much better when Julio Jones was in there. His impact wasn't the same as it is as Bud Dupree's. And we're not giving Bud Dupree all the credit. We're giving him just a lot of it that he so deserves.
He elevates this defense, and you can see it so far this season. In the games where he doesn't play, the defense doesn't perform as well.
Yeah, the offense has been almost the same since Julio Jones has been missing time. There hasn't been this night and day difference from when Julio Jones is playing and when he's not playing, and that's the big thing. Going into the year, if you told me there was games that Julio Jones would get one target for and get one catch for 7 yards, I would say, well, there's an element that Rob alluded to that frees up A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't necessarily the case in that game because the Niners don't have a great secondary. A game against the Dolphins would be one where you could really use that, where Xavier Howard's on him. Okay, well, then we can attack the weak side of the field with A.J. Brown. If Julio Jones is playing on Sunday, Xavier Howard's not going to Julio Jones. He's going to guard the able-bodied A.J. Brown, who just caught 11 passes last week.
And that's exactly what I was going to say was, I appreciate Rob's text, but I don't know how many defensive coordinators would put their number one DB on Julio Jones. Because if I'm a defensive coordinator, I look at Julio Jones, and Julio Jones is going to the Hall of Fame, 100%.
Yes.
And I want to
first
give
ballot
all the respect easily to his career because he's had an incredible one. It's nearing the end. This is not the Julio Jones of 2012, 13, 14. This is not the Julio Jones that everyone knew in Atlanta. So if I'm a defensive coordinator and I have Xavier Howard, an incredible defensive back, and then on the other side I have a D-back that's not as talented as Xavier Howard, then my not-as-talented corner goes on the not-as-talented wide receiver, the wide receiver who hasn't brought really much of anything to this team. So I understand the point that, you know, Putting Julio Jones out there frees up a place for A.J. Brown. Well, you know what? Julio Jones is going to have a cornerback no matter what, because that's how you play football.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I necessarily agree with the fact that he always has number one defensive backs on him, because why would you put—
A.J. Brown's drawing that assignment now.
Why would you put your best corner on not their best wide receiver? It just doesn't make very much sense.
Yeah. 5 years ago, that was the exact same thing that would have happened. Mm-hmm. And you saw what it did to Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's had an incredible start to his career because Julio Jones had that effect.
Mm-hmm.
The offense ranking 18th in total yards doesn't really signify to me that that impact has been had.
And also, while we're on the topic of the Falcons, can we just give the slightest bit of credit to Cordarrelle Patterson?
That guy's fun.
He is fun.
We talked about
many
ways to give Jalen Waddle the ball. Arthur Smith has had a field day having Cordarrelle Patterson on his team.
He is very fun to watch. But another New Year's resolution that I think that the Predators should have, maybe not necessarily the Predators team or franchise, but Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, eat your hearts out, because your New Year's resolution is to earn that contract.
Yep.
Now, we've seen it very much so this season, maybe than last season or in seasons past, where Matt Duchene's been playing his butt off. This is good Matt Duchene. This is the Matt Duchene that we all signed up for. And while what we've seen from Matt Duchene the past couple of months doesn't necessarily earn him his contract, it doesn't necessarily make up for what he didn't produce in the past, but you keep that role, and if you consistently have production from Matt Duchene, from Ryan Johansson, from Philip Forsberg, from the guys that you need to have production from, I mean, that's the difference in this team. So Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, that is your New Year's resolution. Earn that contract.
Earn that contract and keep the season of giving going by helping out UC Saros, because before the COVID pause, that man was standing on his head and
he was sweating.
That man was saving you in a lot of these games. Help him out by giving him 3 goals to have for margin for error each night. And to their credit, like you said, this has been the best Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene have looked since they've been playing on the same team here in Nashville. If they can just keep that going, help UC out a little bit, you have the best defenseman in the league, you have a top 5 goalie in the league right now, that's good enough. That has been the formula to get you into the playoffs and to have some successful seasons for the entirety of this franchise's history. Just help them out a little bit. Put them over the top.
Give these young guys a little bit more time to develop. You put the team on your shoulders, and then the young guys get time to develop, get time on the ice, and they follow. New Year's resolutions. Happy almost 2022 to you all. Caroline Fenton, Elijah Campbell, Darren Donick, and Chase. Bowl season is the best season in ESPN. The Game Nashville is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. Today, 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 will have both college football playoff semifinals, starting with the Goodyear Cotton Bowl with number one Alabama facing number four Cincinnati at 2 o'clock, following me and Elijah when once we are off the air. And following that game, it's number two Michigan takes on number three Georgia in the Capital One Orange Bowl. 312 Pizza Company is the perfect spot to catch every game during bowl season. For a list of games carried on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Coming up next, we will get into exactly that. We'll get into some of the college football playoff games and some of their keys to victory as well. 615-737-1025. We're taking all your thoughts on our phone lines from WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we'll get into that coming up next as well. You are listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase. You can stream on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.